Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's your favorite Baltimore Ravens podcast. And I don't know how you're doing. I just put up my very special purple Ravens Christmas tree, so I'm kind of getting a little bit into the spirit. But a guy I know, he's had a hard time recovering from Sunday. I'm going to talk to him right now. Josh, what's going on, man?
Hard time indeed, my friend. How you doing, everybody?
You know, I'm hoping everybody's doing okay, but what a game on Sunday. It really came down to, once again, a field goal, deciding everything. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out in the way the Ravens would have liked and the fans would have liked. So where do we go from here? I mean, this was a very weird thing. I mean, we were the favorites going into this game. Everyone thought that this was a shoe-in and then thought that this was a no-brainer, that the Ravens were going to come back and win this game. Where was the biggest breakdown for you?
I think the biggest breakdown for me, obviously, going, you know, away from the prediction of the score, you know, obviously I thought it was going to be a blowout on our end. The Ravens never lose at home. I was kind of shocked the way it happened. You know, it was kind of hard to take at first because it's like the way they performed as a whole, it was like a road performance. It was just the offense was inept. They didn't feel like there was no passion, no fire. And I think the turning point in game, obviously I was there, and it was right in the end zone where we were sitting. I think the turning point in game for this offense, it's when that pass interference call, when they beat the Torrey Smith and they got the first and goal on the 5-yard line. All right, they run the ball to Ray Rice once, he gets on the 4-yard line. But the next two plays are critical. They're pass plays. They're crazy stupid in that pass plays. And it's like Cameron gets ahead of himself and tries to outsmart everybody and goes, okay, well, they're expecting to run Ray Rice up the middle or the right, so we're going to get Keaton right now. No, we're not a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees offense where we can, you know, be in shotgun on the 2-yard line, throw it. There's a tight window. We're not built for that. This is Baltimore, Maryland, fellas and ladies and gentlemen here. Come on. It's atrocious. You know, and I even told my buddy, I said, I'm not speaking death, but we're going to lose this game solely on that drive call right there because they came away with 3. And it was only 6-3 at that point. When you're, I'm going to stay with it from elite, but I said, if you want to go deep in the playoffs, not to say they're an elite team, but you want to show you the cream of the crop to AFC right now, and you want to make a deep playoff push and play in New Orleans in February, not punching in at 7 from the 4-yard line is not quality football. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That's just, it was hard to take, and it's just the way they play as a whole. I mean, letting a 37-year-old backup third-string quarterback come into our house and play like that, I don't know if anything, but it better light a fire on them because, boy, was I upset. I'm still upset. You know, the Ravens are playing quality football. Granted, they have some ugly wins. They're 9-3. Their record reflects that. But it's just not quality football, especially if they got to get it in gear for December because it's a brutal 4-week stretch coming up.
It definitely is, and this game, I definitely hope it's a wake-up call for these guys, not just for the guys on the field, but the guys on the sideline as well, because I'm not going to put this entire game on the coaches on the sideline, but a big factor of this loss was, you know, Harbaugh using that timeout when he shouldn't have done it, and not using the clock the way that he should have, and Cam Cameron has been a scapegoat for a lot of fans in Maryland, and he's been a guy that people go after, and they don't like him, especially when we're losing. But this season especially, the use of Ray Rice and the passing game instead of, you know, the running game and the way that he's doing things, I think this game kind of gave people a little bit, you know, more fuel for their fire against Cam Cameron.
It does a little bit. And, you know, speaking of scapegoats, I'm going to actually start ripping them apart here. I have a feeling that, you know, some fans have been very outspoken this week than most, and they were all upset here. And, you know, point of figures, I think, honestly, starts with Harbaugh. You know, yeah, I love him as our head coach. I love him to death dearly. He does a great job. But here's the thing. You want to start finger-pointing. It starts from himself. He's usually the first to put the blame, but you're right. He's even admitted to the mistakes. The challenge, I don't know what that was about. We knew clearly it wasn't going to overturn it. Upheld. We all know it as fans, and it sucked to see that challenge fight being thrown. And yet, especially with the Ravens Steel game, you knew it was going to be a close game. Why the heck would you waste your timeouts? It means you have one timeout in the whole second half. Like, come on, man. You're right. There was just mismanagement, misclock management. It just goes from the top down. It starts with Harbaugh. He's got to get a grip. And instead of, you know, I hate to say he sounded like, you know, Billick, you know, Brian Billick is awesome. You know, he led us to the Super Bowl. He's a great winning coach here. And, you know, he's had a long tenure in Baltimore. But towards the end of his tenure, it kind of, would you hear it? He kind of got old. The players are tuning him out. Not to say that's getting there toward Harbaugh, but Harbaugh has got to stop covering for his players like Billick did and needs to stand up and say, you know what? If these guys don't start playing better, things are going to change. There needs to be a shaking up. I don't know if he's just scared to say it or if he says something to the media and something else behind closed doors, but let me tell you this, Brandon. The fans ain't stupid. You know, the media sure isn't stupid. Me and you aren't stupid. We kind of know. Say, you got to put the blame on somebody else. If he doesn't take responsibility soon, this team could be staring a one and done in the playoffs, or worse, they might not even get in. Hate to say the harsh reality, but you got to play. They took their own destiny out of their hands, and they got to win because they need some help now to get in the playoffs. Not that they don't. They have to win two out of the next four games to solidify the division win, the title. So, hey. Again, it's just really, you got to take care of business at home. The Steelers are reeling. You had a wounded dog coming in. The divisional opponent, you had a chance to sweep them, get another AFC win to get a division win, lock up a playoff spot, lock up a division. Actually, the Bengals did end up winning, so we wouldn't have locked up the division. But you got to take care of business, especially on our home turf. It's just disheartening. It was very disheartening to see a home loss like that. I really hope this team can bounce back. But, yes, I'm still frustrated. And this one hurt a little bit more because it was our arch rival. It was the Steelers. And the way they did it, it just, come on, man. It hurts me when I saw them go down the field. I'm like, really? You're going to let Charlie freaking Batch drive down the field? And they kick again. It was just, it was hard to stomach, man.
Yeah, you know, it would have been nice to have had that sweep, and especially, you know, Big Ben's coming back this week. Ben was out for 3 weeks, so this was the time to make a real impact and to really push ourselves and get ahead in the standings pretty much against this team that was the number two team in the division. So it kind of sucks that we weren't able to do that this past week and kind of pull ahead and you know, win the race at this point. But we do have a couple weeks coming up. Before we move on from this game, though, I do want to talk about that one penalty at the end of the game that really pretty much solidified that the Steelers were going to win, that Paul Kruger roughing the passer call. He's a young guy, and I feel like for some reason, whenever I bring up the name of somebody that I actually like, they seem to screw up the next time. We were at the O's game a couple months ago, and I talked about how much I liked Robert Andino, and I said, here he comes up to the plate, and he struck out like two or three times that night. So now last episode I bring up, I'm really impressed with Paul Kruger, and he causes this penalty and gets those guys in the field goal range, helping out the Steelers. So, this guy showed he's kind of inexperienced, and hopefully he's learning from that experience, and hopefully going forward we can count on him a little bit more.
I agree, and that penalty was huge. There's a couple of spotty decisions that just really hurt the Ravens, especially something uncharacteristic out of Joe Flacco's of late, throwing a careless pass down the sideline straight up in the air that was picked off. Usually he's very smart throwing it away. That was very under characteristic of him. And I was very, very disappointed to see that. You cannot turn a ball over, and especially another turning point in the game. Bash throws an interception to Ed Reed in the back of the end zone. The Ravens get it. The momentum swung. But then what do? One of Joe Flacco's flaws here is pocket awareness, I believe, and it's been something that's been getting to me for the past couple of years. That, to me, is one of his only flaws. He just has zero pocket awareness, and again, it all goes down to starts the defense. The offensive line needs a block. It comes down to two words, and I'm going to mention something that has been lost this season, and here it is. It's Ben Grubbs. There it is. glaring weakness is the offensive line. Ben Grubbs leaving us was a very, very tough one. You go back to starting even from preseason, because that's where it started. Without Ben Grubbs there, they lose one of the cornerstones of the offensive line. They just need help. You know, not to say it's getting done, but our rookies aren't getting done. Kalicio Smelly isn't blocking. Michael Orr is getting beat. These guys are getting beat, not allowing him the time to throw. Look what happened. Charlie Batch has all day to throw, and he picks us apart. Anybody can pick a defense apart if they're giving time to throw. And this has to stop. It's just, oh my gosh, I'm just frustrated with just some of the things that are going on lately with this team, because it's December and we don't have an identity. And yes, I'm still backing. Yes, I would always still love this team, and I'm going to be hard at times. Yes, I'm going to criticize, but I'm going to praise where praise is due. I'm not going to pick them apart, but am I frustrated? Yeah. Am I happy? Yes, because here's the thing. At the end of the day, we still have a 2-game lead, even though we lost. We're 9-3, fella. I mean, I heard an interview with Torrey Smith this week. Someone asked him, if you had said 12 games into the season at this point, if someone told me you would have been 9-3, what would you have said? Any team would kill at this point, because there is not enough teams anywhere close to that record-wise. I mean, just look around the league. Any team, ask the Cleveland Brown fan, be, hey, would you want to trade places with us, be 9-3 looking for a playoff spot? Or would you rather be 4-8, you know, way out of the picture, only win 4 games instead of 9? Yes, I'm grateful and counting my blessings, but this team, I'll be honest with you, they don't scare me, and the other teams scare me. You know, they got Denver coming up in a week and a half. They scare me coming in here. Peyton Manning's going to carve us apart. The Patriots have actually gotten stronger since we beat them. And you just look at the Houston Texans, they're kind of underrated because no one's really talking about them. They're 11-1. They got a big game coming Monday Night Football, which is one of the biggest games of the season. I will be all eyes watching, because that's going to impact our seeding. I'm telling you what, they don't get their act together. They're not top 10 AFC anymore. And, you know, frankly, I'm not putting the blame on anybody. It is a team effort, Brandon, but I'm telling you, you can sense my frustration. This was a tough one to swallow, and I'm letting it go, obviously, as we got to move on to the Redskins this weekend. But it is good to at least get it out there, get it open, and said, this is what's wrong with the team. We need to address that. The coach needs to address it. Something needs to be shaken or shaken up, because the way this team is playing, especially at home now, it's almost like they lost their superpowers. We were invincible at home. Now we're beatable. Any team's beatable, and frankly, if home field is what we're going for, we have to think again, because if we don't play our best, even at home, we're going to lose.
Yeah, there's always that chance, and definitely wasn't our best this past Sunday. But we do have another game to look forward to, and it's a team that at the beginning of the season, before the season even started, before preseason, I think a lot of people thought this was going to be another game where we weren't going to have to worry about anything. But here comes this rookie, this QB rookie that everybody's talking about. You've seen him on every Sunday, and you've seen him on Gatorade and Subway commercials. We got RG3 to worry about. And it's going to be a really weird game. We're going down to D.C. for that. Here's the thing, though. Here's what I keep going through this past week. RG3, he's a guy who can throw, and he's a guy who can run. Now, last time the Ravens went against a quarterback that favored the run over the pass and could do both was Week 2 with Michael Vick. Now, of course, I didn't watch that game because I don't like to watch Michael Vick, but he's a running quarterback, and the defense could not catch him. And the Philadelphia Eagles came out on top on that one. So this game going forward, I think on Sunday, we really need the defense to shut this guy down. And just like every defense comes after Flacco and gets that pocket to close up, I think that's what they're going to have to do. I think they're going to have to rush the passer as much as possible to get that pocket and shut it down.
I agree. They're going to have to put some pressure on this rookie quarterback. Granted that overall as a whole, he's having a great season. And again, it's on the road. It's right down the beltway. But you're right. If they don't get the pressure on RG3, it could be a very long day for this defense. And I'm very concerned with how they contain, because I was talking about, I know you didn't watch Week 2, and they would have to think back on our shows if we even talked about it, but it's about containment with these guys. You have to rush outside and not over-pursue, because when you over-pursue, you allow these guys to run the field, and it's usually wide open. And with RG3, he's a guy that shows he's not afraid to run. go run 67 yards for the touchdown, take a hit. He's not afraid. He's not going to slide like these pritchy quarterbacks. I'm telling you. I've seen this guy play. I watched Monday Night Football. That was an incredible game. He's made some incredible plays that flipped. You know, it looked like it was a fumble, but they ruled it a catch and touchdown. It was a fumble, and they advanced the ball. It was an incredible play. And I'm very excited. They were 3-6. They've won three games in a row. They just beat the New York Giants in Monday Football. There was a game in their division. It's going to be very good football, and not even just the Redskins, but if you look at the rest of the schedule, every team on the Ravens' schedule the rest of the remainder of the year is in playoff contention. So they're going to get the best game from everybody. We're not playing the one in or whatever, like a team who has one or two losses. We're playing teams that are playing for a spot, and they're going to give the Ravens all they have to offer. And yes, we're playing for a spot, because we lose, we not only make it in. So the Redskins are going to give us all our fits, and with the Giants playing the Saints, the Redskins have an opportunity to even get tied with them, so they're going to have all incentive, and they're at home, which they just had an emotional home win on Monday Night Football against their arch rival, the Giants, in their division. So it's going to be a great game. I'm telling you, right now my prediction will be at the end of the show, but I'm still up in arms. I don't know what to predict for this game, because honestly, it's a coin flip. The Ravens show and play their best game on this road game. They might pull it out, but the Redskins right now, with the way the Ravens played, the Redskins will probably beat them by 10 points or more just because of what I've seen in the last couple of weeks. You know, what do you have the input on that? I want to hear what you have to say about the matchup.
Well, you know, it's going to be very interesting. I'm actually lucky enough to, I'm going down to the game to,
That's right, you are.
Yeah, to FedEx Field, going on a bus trip, and it's the Battle of the Beltway, so I'm really interested to see how that stadium looks, if there's going to be a good representation of purple. I think there's going to be a lot of people going down that are Ravens fans, so I'm going to be very interested to see that. But as the actual gameplay goes on, this is a team, like you said, there's no identification right now. They don't know who they are. We don't know who they are. Are they an offensive team or a defensive team? The games have kind of flip-flopped on where the emphasis is. The big question mark, though, for me is, of course, Terrell Suggs. Last game, he went off the field, went into the back, and you could see that he was injured, did not look comfortable. Now, he's been practicing. He practiced today. But again, it's going to be a game-time decision because this guy, he pulled what was it, his bicep. I think he tore one of his biceps, and
he did.
Yeah, that's a pretty big injury. Even if they say yes, you can play with that, doesn't mean you're going to be going after people like you normally would when you were completely healthy. So I think without Terrell Suggs, this is going to be a defense that is missing so many people that are important to them. I mean, there's no Suggs, there's no Ray Lewis, there's no Ladarius Webb, there's no Jimmy Smith. This is going to be a defense that I think is going to get, if Terrell Suggs is not there, is going to get eaten alive. I mean, we've got Paul Kruger and we've got Haloti Ngata to kind of back up the defense. But again, there's only so much those guys can do. We do have some guys in the secondary that are improving, but again, they're not where they really should be. So I honestly don't know. I think the offense is going to have I think this might be a more offensive game, really. I think that because the defense is going to have such a big challenge, the offense is really going to have to show up, because this is really going to – it's not going to be like a 6-9 game. The offense is going to have to show up, and you have to show up with their guns blazing.
I agree. This might be a shootout. It might have to come to that. And just speaking of the injuries, you know, I'm going to actually stop being – a little negative. Now I'm actually going to get excited, because you're right. When I saw Suggs go down, I was like, are you got to be kidding me right now? We already have the general out, and now you got, well, usually I call every the lieutenant, but whatever rank Terrell Suggs has on the defense, he's out. You have one guy at the biceps tear, and now he's got the triceps tear on this one. It's just, you know, wow. I couldn't believe it. When I saw him walking on the field holding that arm, I said, look. Well, I was pointing, I said, look. One other one of them is down, and when I heard the report, I actually got the injury report mid-game. Someone told me, so I was kind of upset about that. I said, you got to be kidding me. He's gone for the rest of the season. I don't know if anybody saw my tweet earlier, but how about these Ravens? How resilient are these guys? I mean, I think they're mutants or something, because they're, like, rehabilitating faster right before our eyes. I mean, I don't know about you, bro, but if you're going to tear your muscles – I mean, if I went downstairs right now and worked out, tore my tricep or bicep or any muscle for that matter, I'd probably be out for probably 6 to 8 months. I mean, it's just incredible how these guys, I saw Ray Lewis go out 7 weeks ago, and he made his return this week. How incredible is that?
That was pretty amazing. I got to say,
that was amazing. Yeah.
When they made the announcement, I saw it on Twitter that Ray Lewis was returning to practice. Then I saw that picture of him on the practice field. I just, like, my jaw dropped. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised by this guy. I mean, this guy has defied every odd out there. But still, just to see number 52 on that field, it felt good. And I'm going to be, you know, ecstatic once he finally comes back onto that field.
Oh, I'm more than ecstatic. You know, everybody knows that's my boy and on my favorite player, and it just goes to show you how he continues to defy it. And everybody's like, "Oh, he's done. He says he's gonna retire at the end of the year." I'm like, "Bull crap! You know, come on. You know, put the money up. Let's bet it. Let's talk about it." Because he just continues to defy haters. I don't know if anybody's seen. I posted this video probably once a day because I was so excited. Obviously, The Dark Knight Rises got released this week, and I've already watched that on demand, so
it's great.
I got my Dark Knight fill. It's a great movie, man. I can watch it all day long. And if anybody's actually seen my post from YouTube, look it up. There's a very unique piece, and the gentleman who did it, awesome work. I think you would appreciate, obviously, I know you do some editing work yourself. I think any editor would actually appreciate it who does video and audio. Just take a look. It's called Ray Lewis Rises. It's actually from the Dark Knight scene, the guy intertwining the Dark Knight and Ray Lewis actually returning. And it was well done. You kind of built it. It's an 8-minute video. It's a great watch. It's probably one of the greatest videos I've ever seen in my life. I'm not kidding, Ravens fans. You got to check it out. Again, it's YouTube Ray Lewis Rises. And it'll say Rise HD, and I'll have him, like, looking down. He's wearing a purple jersey to start, so it actually has snippets of him in his famous speeches. It has music underscored from The Dark Knight. It has all of his greatest, like, hits, and it's just incredible. And then it goes into, and there's a line in there that Michael Irvin was interviewing Ray Lewis, and he says, and I'm going to paraphrase, obviously, because I can't get the exact quote, but he says something about people always doubting him, and people always like, "Hey, look, he's done." But he continues to come back and defy the odds, and it just goes to show you the resilience of this team. He's the heartbeat of this franchise. He's the face. He is the Ravens. And for him to come back in a week, he's eligible to play a week, you know, next week against the Broncos at home. I think there will be an earthquake in Baltimore, Maryland, because this place is going to go crazy to see him. I don't think he'll be introduced. I don't know what's going to happen because the defense was introduced this past week, but oh my God, I can't wait to see 52 back. It's going to be great. And even watch the footage of him in practice. He was moving his arm. He was catching footballs. He was actually blocking and hitting his blocks. He didn't look hurt. I just remember how he fully tore it, got surgery, and here he comes. And then Terrell Suggs tears his bicep, and Terrell Suggs comes out and says, "Hey, you got a heartbeat, you got breath, you can play football and line up." And he's actually going to consider playing through this. Wow, what heart. It just goes to show this team, it's, you know, they're not, "Oh, my head hurts and I got to call out of work." They're going with torn muscles. And it just makes me proud of the work ethic these guys have. And maybe that's what they need in December. This is maybe what this team needs. You know what? We're going to go out there and play injured, but we got a goal to have. We got a goal to achieve this year. And I think this might be the turning point the Ravens need right now. You're right. We're without Jimmy Smith, and Jimmy Smith even returned to practice limited this week. So we're trying to get our injured birds back a little bit. Granted, we're without Darius Webb for the remainder of the season. Even if we make it to the Super Bowl, he's not going to be there. He'll be there on the sidelines in spirit. But it just goes to show you that, yes, these Ravens are hurt, but it seems like, hey, other teams can hurt us. You can tear them apart. You can rip them their muscles apart. But you know what? They'll be back. And they're showing the world that we need business.
You know, I'm glad that we're going to be back, and I'm glad that we're going to, you know, mean business like we should. And, these guys are just superhuman. And if Suggs were to play, that's going to be a big question mark. It might be best to kind of hold him off against, you know, a guy like RG3 that's going to run a lot, because it's really going to affect that injury. But that's the one good thing that happened this week, though. I mean, having Ray Lewis come back onto that practice field means a lot to the city, means a lot to the team. You know, like you said, he is the heart and soul of this team. And eventually, when he actually does, you know, hang up the shoulder pads and decides that he's done.
What a sad day that will be.
This team is definitely going to change forever when he actually does do that. And hopefully it's not for a couple more seasons. I think he still can do what he has to do. But what I've heard about him after this surgery, apparently that he's been like rehabbing this injury for like 12 hours a day. I mean, it is just, this guy is dedicated, and it's something great to see. It's kind of rare nowadays to have somebody that dedicated.
Well, it makes me motivated too, you know, not one that, I'll be the first one to say, yeah, I've slacked off at the gym sometimes, but of lately, you see that drive, you see that work ethic, and it's, especially when you watch the Football Life segment with him, and you just see his determination. He's a motivated individual. And I don't, it's almost thinking it's just hard to picture him not playing because he loves playing football. He's 37 years old. He rehabs for a reason, quickly to come back. He could have just said, screw it, F it, I'm done. I don't want to play football no more. I'm hurt. You know what? I made my millions. I'm going to sit back and let you guys do it. But no, he rehabs and comes back and he sets the example. He's a true born leader and he set an example for these guys saying, you know what? You might be hurt, but you're going to rehab and we're going to come back even bigger and better. And I'm tickled at that to see what he does in the next 4 weeks. I'll be honest with you. If he outperforms any middle linebacker in this league in the next 4 weeks, mark my words, I wouldn't even be surprised because the dude just defies his father time. He finds a sound to use every year. It's like, oh, he lost a step. The freaking dude is just a monster. He's a machine. And we're going to learn a lot from him in the next 4 weeks. And if Suggs can come back on a limited basis and maybe he can come back and provide a spark, you know, honestly, personally, I think Suggs should rest and come back for that December 16th game against Denver here, which is going to be a lot more impactful than, you know, not to say this game's any less, but, you know, the Redskins game's coming up and we need to win that one too. But tell you what, I think Suggs should rest. And speaking of the Redskins, you're right. RG3 and that team does pose a, you know, going back to it all, it does pose a kind of a mismatch because the way we play defense, we don't blitz anyway, and when we do, they got to contain him because you're right, we're going to get shredded, and he, right now, RG3, sure, he can do that to any defense. He's beaten some pretty good teams this year, and I think it's going to be a heck of a dogfight come Sunday.
Absolutely, I'm totally with you. What's your prediction for the end of the game?
I'm still at 0-0 because I don't know. I'm just kidding. let's go. You put me on a spot here. I'm going to have to pick, because I did pick the Ravens to win last week, and I was wrong. I picked them to lose the following week. Before that, I was wrong there, too. So, obviously, I'm 0-2 in my last 2 weeks here. So, I need some help, and obviously, I picked the Ravens to win in Pittsburgh. So, let's go. You know what? I'm still undecided. How about you go first? I really am undecided. This one's tough for me, man.
I think it's going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I still think it's going to be a close game. So I can see the Ravens winning this one. I think even though it's an away game, it's not a home game, the Ravens have something to prove after last week, and plus it's not that far of a drive. I think a lot of fans are going to be making that same drive with the Ravens down the Beltway to D.C. So I can see the Ravens winning this, and I'm going to say it's going to be like, let's say like maybe 27-24. I think it's going to be close again. I think it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be field goal after field goal or touchdown after touchdown. I think it's going to be a lot of, hey, look what I did, and then somebody coming back and said, yeah, but I can do that too. So I can see a lot of quick goals, a lot of quick touchdowns. So I think it's going to be kind of high scoring, and I think it's going to be down to the wire, as every Ravens game is.
You're right, every Ravens game is, and I can live with that prediction. It's a pretty good prediction. I'm actually going to finally fire my prediction out there for you fans, and I'm going to pick the Ravens by 3. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Justin Tucker gets it done with a late field goal. I'm going to say 20. We'll go 23-20, Ravens.
Okay. All right, I like
I'm
that.
I'm going to keep it respectful. I think to get it done, I just have a feeling that I think this team knows what's at stake and they turn around and I think they're ready for the rookie. They're, you know, everybody's RG3, RG3, and the media praises him, but I think you're right. It is going to be a dogfight. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, and I'm going to stick, and I think the Ravens will pull this emotional road victory out, and I think they finally get a good road win that they must have very well needed, and then they come home against the Manning brothers for two at home, so I think it's going to be good for us. I can't wait to beat the Redskins on Sunday. We've been having some good fan rivalries up here as of late. A lot of Redskin fans in the area. You know, they've been very, very gracious to have this game mean something this late in the season. So I think they're very excited as a fan base as a whole. And we're excited to play this game. And I'm just ready to get it going, strap up. I wish I could strap up with the team, but I'm ready to get it going come 1 o'clock on Sunday for kickoff, and it's going to be a fun game, especially to see what this rookie quarterback's all about. And you're right, you know, we faced one runner-gunner this week, or I'm going to say this week, but this year in week two, you're right, with Vic. And if this team, you're going to hear me say it a lot, it's all about containment with these kind of quarterbacks. If you don't keep the outside walls protected and have a spy on the inside where he can't run up the middle and he can't run to the outside because you got the walls there, you can beat him. He's easily beatable. I've seen teams do it. So, like, again, Ravens, as long as they can do that, I think that is the very key to success come Sunday to beating the Redskins.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate here, you kind of reminded me of this, and it's something we got to think about. Yeah, RG3 is amazing. RG3 is a great quarterback. RG3 is a guy who can do everything. But there's that one word that everybody says, and I don't think anybody realizes they're saying it: rookie. All right, this is his first season. The guy is good, and he knows how to play football, but at the same time, he is still a rookie, and there's a lot of well-seasoned guys on the Ravens, and again, there's a lot of rookies as well. So if we got this rookie kind of making rookie mistakes or taking rookie chances, we got rookies too that are willing to take those same chances, and we also have veterans that are kind of going to teach him what not to do and what to do in the NFL. So that's just something else to think about going into this game, is that this guy is a rookie. He might be a great rookie. He might be a guy who has a lot of time here in the NFL, and we'll see him for a lot of years. But again, still a rookie. So that's something to think about. We don't have to go into it or anything like that, but just something to think about as we wait for Sunday to roll around.
Good point, man. Good point.
Yeah. So, did we cover everything? Is there anything we missed?
There's a couple things we wanted to probably get off on. We didn't touch it back recapping the Steelers game. And obviously, it was a minor point, but it was probably one of the worst calls I've ever seen. But what about this whole progress was stopped quarterback? What is that? Like, have you heard of such a thing in your lifetime?
I have not. I was pretty confused.
I was confused, too, because I'm like, wait a second. And honestly, I got into it with a Steelers fan, and he actually agreed. And I think the earth just shook because a Steelers fan actually agreed with the Ravens fan, but he was like, because I told him, I said, your stupid quarterback makes a living off of that exact play. You try to bring him down, you can't bring him down, and then he just wings the ball and gets lucky, and he's like, yeah, you got a point. I said, of course I got a point. Even Charlie freaking Batch did that in the game. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, Charlie freaking Batch, he did that twice. Trying to get, we had him in a sack, and he just wings the ball. One, it was a completion. One was an incomplete pass. But then, and what even more perturbed me, and this call by any shape or form did not cost us the game, it didn't shape it, but who knows what could have happened, and I actually got to think back on what the score was at that point, or what point of the game that was in, but the play ended was deep down in our own territory, and Flacco threw it into the left flat to Leach. Leach had one guy to beat, and at least had a first down, if not more. Who knows how much he would have gotten. Leach is not a fast guy, but he's big and powerful. And with him carrying that football, he would have gotten a ways downfield. Maybe shed a block or two, or tackles here and there. And that call, it almost led to believe that the replacements were back. It was an atrocious call. Yes, there were refs will make errors. But here's my point, and I had a very good point Sunday. A lot of fans agree with me, and I'm going to hear me out on this, guys, is if the NFL players can get fined for not illegal hits, but incorrect hits or the way they hit or stupid helmets against helmets or whatever, why not fine refs for bad calls? You know what I'm saying?
I'm totally with you. That's been something that a lot of people have brought up, especially when the replacements were here. And I totally agree with you. If you're not doing your job correctly, then you should be fine like the players.
Exactly. It's all fairness, you know. They're going to make mistakes just like the players. The players are trying to get it right. They're trying to tell me, you're fine. You know, you dangle a suspension and $400,000 on Ed Reed, but then you repeal it and you only fine him $50,000 and not, well, he didn't really intend to. Yes, the replacements are out there. The real refs don't intend on calling the bad calls, but yes, they are human. They will get it wrong sometimes, but I still think that should be overruled or overturned, or if not, even if it does or doesn't affect the outcome of the game. You know, I just think the quality of the game, like if that was a championship game or even a Super Bowl and they let that go, no one probably really said anything in the media about that. I'm sure it was talked about, but if it's a bigger game, I'm sure that's magnified even a million times more. It's like, oh, well, they can't do that. They should do something about that. Well, you know, come on. Be fair. And my whole thing is, you got to call it one side, call it the other side. I know Baltimore gets the flack for they always are critical of the refs. Well, when it's always one-sided, I mean, I don't have the purple goggles on for this one, but I don't see it called on the other side. I mean, they weren't calling Charlie Bass down by his progress was stopped. So my call off, it's just, that's my whole point. And I think we touched that on earlier in the year with be consistent. If you're going to call it one way, call it the other end of the field. And it was just one of those things where let me scratch my head. I'm like, hello, like, are you kidding me? He wasn't even down on the ground for, I was just beside myself on that one. And, some fans let it be known around me and we got into it a little bit, but, you know, again, you know, I'm glad that point was brought up and, I want to get that out there. So I hope I got some fans thinking this week that you're right. Maybe NFL should find these guys for bad calls. Maybe it'll actually change the way they call the games. Or hey, let's reach into their pockets because I'm sure they're making more money with this new agreement they got.
Oh yeah, absolutely they are. I mean, that's what they fought for. That's what they're going to get.
Well, hopefully they make the quality of the game better, and you know, hopefully they just leave the game as is. As a whole, hopefully we have some good game football. And I'm looking forward to the playoff push we got. We're on the cusp of our fifth straight playoffs. Very proud of this team. And, yeah, I might criticize them. I might be hard on them as usual. But something's got to give. And I'm going to criticize where criticism is due. And I'm looking forward to it. But as an excited fan, I'm very excited for the opportunity. I'm very tickled to death that we're at 9-3. And, again, another winning we haven't had a losing season since the Flacco, Harbaugh, Rice area. So, you know, I'm enjoying the moment because there will become a point to where this team will suck and we'll be on the bed and we'll have one or two losses at this point. We're going to have to go, oh, here we go. We're so horrible. But right now, you know, yes, they don't have their identity. We've already talked on that. I'm waiting for their identity. But for right now, let's just enjoy some 9-3 football. 10-3 is a goal on Sunday. And we got it. Two important home games to come by, and we're hitting a home stretch, fellas. This is the fourth quarter of the season, December football. Christmas is upon us. It's the holiday season, and I'm excited for December football in Baltimore. So let's rev it up, and playoff push, here we come.
I'm excited for it, and you know, if I'm going to be tweeting out some pictures of the game on Sunday, I'll show you what FedEx Field looks like. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Josh, man, you're always putting out good information about everything. You even tweeted a little bit of hockey earlier tonight, watching the Hershey Bears. So
I did.
Where can people follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me on Twitter at ItalianGQ52. And let's touch on that a little bit. I got a couple comments for you. Are you watching hockey? I mean, I've been getting a hockey recently, and I know I won't dive into it because I'm pretty sure I'll hear about it on What the Puck this week, but I was just excited to see hockey on TV, and honestly, man, I mean, apart from the NFL, and I always, you know, get on the NFL for being girly and they're being wimpy because they're taking away from the hits and stuff, but it was good to see, you know, the guys crashing the boards, hard hits, and there was even a fight tonight. So this is why I get in hockey, because they actually hit, and it's actually fast-paced. I've been to a live game. It was great to see hockey, and they were actually playing at the Ryzen Center in D.C. So, again, I don't want to get too involved with hockey. We got a show for that, but I just wanted to touch on that. I was very excited to see. And then I got one for you, man, is I hope I don't see you on TV down in that Hawk pit with them hogs and the dresses. I hope you're far away from that.
I hope so too. I don't know where I'll be yet, but
I hope that's not the losing bet.
Right.
Well, I do have a friend of mine, and she'll probably kill me. I won't mention her name, obviously. She'll probably kill me for mentioning the podcast. She'll be like, gosh! But I have a friend of mine who made some good bets this weekend for the Skins game. So let's hope the Ravens win, because I was tempted saying go Redskins, because I actually want to see this bet go in the Redskins' favor so I can see it happen. But, you know, it's all fun and love and war and football. But, you know, go Ravens, and I won't bash on her too bad. And she knows who she is, and she's a good listener of the show. And she'll probably get me, after she listens, she'll probably light me up. And so I'm going to give her a shout-out to her. And she's a big Bears fan. So, yeah, man, we're going to have some fun this weekend and beat some Skins. And hopefully we can continue the trend. And let's go 10-3, man. I'm excited.
That's right, that's right. If you want any information about the call or any of the other shows on the At Brando Cash Network, go over to facebook.com/BrandoCash, like us over there, become a fan, follow both of us on Twitter. You get all the information you need about the show, which is very important, okay? Let me just tell you, we talked about this on What the Puck if you listen to that show, but in the next couple weeks, our web hosting website, Podbean, is going through some changes. They're linking up with Amazon, so they said that the site is going to be down for maintenance for a few days. Now, we don't know what specific days it will be. It might be sporadic. So we're going to pay close attention to that. So the call might be jumping around from day to day. It might not always be out on Fridays coming up in the next few weeks. So the most important thing you can do is follow us both on Twitter and like the At Brando Cash Network over on Facebook, facebook.com/BrandoCash. That way you can keep up to date on all the information going on and when the show will actually be put up and where you can actually get to hear it. Now, here's something else that's also important. If you're listening to this on something besides iTunes, if you go over to iTunes and click subscribe, the newest show will be downloaded automatically into your iTunes whenever it becomes available. So if you don't want to worry about what day the show is coming out and you just want it to pop up, that's the easiest thing for you to do is go over and subscribe on iTunes and not worry about it and just listen to it whenever the next show comes on. But if you want all the information and everything, of course, go like us over on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And if you want to help us out in any other way, write us a review on iTunes. That way more people kind of know about us, and it kind of makes iTunes kind of look at us a little bit more. And tell your friends, tell your neighbors, Facebook, tweet, you know, go to Pinterest, go on to Tumblr, and tell people that you're listening to the call and that you dig the show and that it's all about the Ravens. Take a picture. If you're listening to one of the episodes, take a picture of your screen, post it on Instagram, do whatever you can. Just let people out there know that you're listening to the call, that you're a fan, and how they should listen to it too. So thank you so much for listening. Josh, you know what to do, man. It's a good way to send us out. You always know what to do.
I always know what to do, but we need to do the pre-send out for us. Does everybody, you got it covered?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. So did we cover everything in this episode?
If not, Henry's got it.
He's always good, man. He's always got
hey,
our back.
He got one this weekend, man. Oh, speaking of that, before we go, I want to interject. I say game ball goes to Lou and Ed Reed. You got another pick.
All right, yeah. Give it to Ed Reed. You know, something good had to come out of that game, so Ed Reed definitely gets it.
Yeah, there wasn't really a game ball to pass out. I mean, overall, and it was a collaborative team loss. I'll put it that way. Offense, defense, special teams, we didn't really get it going on any cylinders. It's good we didn't really return the ball. So so we'll get the game ball. Hey, Ed Reed's 64th interception. You know, he's just ramping them up. He's just going. He keeps going. And he almost made a play coming up point out of the end zone, and he could have broken one. So, you know, I'll just say, let's get the game ball to Ed Reed because he just baited him in that interception. It was a great play. And Ed Reed did get the back. And as I always say, let's go Baltimore Ravens fly high.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.